Huh? Yeah, they're jumping for joy. They're getting out of here. That's the way y'all will be when I get done today, probably. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody come this way today. And I was looking, about half our choir's gone this morning, wasn't it? Where's all them people at? I know they're here, there, and yonder. Some's in Indiana, and some's here, and some's there, and some's yonder, I guess. But anyway, we're here, and I've come to worship and praise an almighty God, and I'm glad to be here to do that. I want to share a few verses of Scripture with you this morning. I thought about this, the little kids, they're jumping like toad frogs going out here. Did y'all notice that? If I could just only do that. If I could just only do that, I'd do one of those this morning. I'm going to look at the book of Jonah just for a minute this morning. In Jonah, we start talking about the work of God and the work God wants us to do and decisions we make in life about it. Now, I'll just tell you, I've made a lot of choices. I've made a lot of decisions through life that, after they came about and took place, I think I'd like to have that back. You know, I'd like to have another chance at that one. And I've thought about this a lot in the book of Jonah, and we'll get into this a little bit more in a minute. But God gave Jonah a choice to make. He gave him opportunity to make a decision. He made the wrong one. But then later he gave him another chance to make another decision. And I think so oftentimes in life how God loves us enough that although we've made a mistake in this and we've made a wrong choice, there's times in life God just allows us to do it again, you know. Had a group of coaches one time come years ago over at Sulphur Springs. Had five coaches up on stage at one time. From North Sun Mountain, and they started talking about, you know, and telling their history and how they got saved and what the Lord had done in their life. And they started talking about playing golf, you know, and they were football coaches. They weren't golfers. They wasn't good like Tony. You know, they wasn't good, but I've thought about this for years and years and years, and they stand up on stage and they're talking about their playing golf, and they get up to the tee, and they get ready to hit the ball, and one of them will hit it, you know, and it'll just slice out through the woods, or it'll go this way out through the pond or something. And they all had a deal made with each other that if you'd yell, "Do over," you got to do it again. Didn't cost you a thing. You know, this is one of my favorite things in life, I guess, this do-over that God gives each one of us. That if you'll call for a do-over, He'll give you another shot at it. He'll give you another chance, you know, to make it right. You know, I know a lot of people went through almost a lifetime, and, you know, they go through all this time, and although they made some bad choices in life, they never one time asked God, "Let me do it again." He gave Jonah a second chance. The same requirements, didn't change them, but gave him the second chance to do it again. Now, I believe God sent a message here for somebody this morning that needs to just stand up and claim, "Do over. I want another shot, Lord." And, these coaches, they got in a big way up there that day. I got so tickled. They said, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, so-and-so." He said, "He calls for more do-overs than anybody." But then they started talking about the do-over God gave them in their life. That during college, they got led away from the Lord. They got strayed this way and strayed that way. But God gave them the choice to come back. And I saw fit and thought it okay for them to stand on the stage behind the pulpit and give their testimony about what God had done in their life. If somebody here this morning needs that do-over, don't hesitate on it. If God's dealing with you right now, this would be the time to do it. Not later. You don't have to wait. You won't bother anything. Just say, "I'm going to get another shot at this." And choices that we make. Y'all ever made a bad choice? Whoa, you ever made one and regretted it? I mean, you know, let's talk about Jonah just a little bit. He made some bad choices in life, but then he come back around and made some good ones also. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1, if you'll look there with me, and we'll talk about this just for a few minutes. Jonah chapter 1 verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, say, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." And you know, every time I read through this, I think about how much God loves us and God trust us. Now, I want you to think about trust, that God actually trusts us to make decisions in life. He could have controlled Jonah's mind. He could have controlled his heart. He could have not even gave him a choice. He just had to go down and do what God told him to do. But God not only loves us, but He trusts us enough to give us this decisions that we make in life. That if we make a wrong decision, then He'll remind us. He'll show us. But He trusted Jonah to make the right decision. What did Jonah do? He made the wrong decision. He made the wrong choice. And it's going to cost him and cause him some problems in the long run. In verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was likely to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the waters that were in the wares that were in the ship to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down in the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. He had made a wrong decision. Now, I want you to notice as we go through the next several verses, a lot of times, and I hear this all the time, well, it's my life. It don't make any difference to anybody else. Have y'all ever heard people say that? It's my decision. It's my life. It's my choice. I don't see how it affects anybody else. I'm going to tell you, if you've got loved ones around you, you will affect them by the choices you make in this life. It does have an effect. You see, not only Jonah was in the midst of the storm, here's all these mariners. They didn't have a problem with God. They hadn't done anything wrong, but yet it was still affecting them because they was in the same ship with Jonah. If you're out of God's will, it'll affect everybody around you. Everybody say, amen. Amen. I've just told you the truth, that if you're out of the will of God, if you're running from the Lord, guess what? Everybody around you can get affected by it. And that's what's happening with Jonah. He had went down inside the ship and laid down and went to sleep. But God's going to wake him up. You'll not sleep through it. I guarantee you, when you make a wrong choice, a wrong decision in life, I don't believe God will allow you to sleep through it. It said, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. I'm not at all surprised about that God controlled these lots and let them know it was Jonah causing a problem. Now, understand something. If it's you causing the problem, sooner or later it will come out. It will show up sooner or later. You might get by a day or two or a week or two or a month or two, but understand if you're out of God's will and you've rejected God and His decision for your life, sooner or later it will show up. I believe people will know it. And so here it fell upon Jonah. Then they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us, and what is thine occupation, and whence cometh thou, and what is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. So he starts giving God credit. He said, I am a child of God. He said, I'm a Hebrew. He said, I serve this great God. And so I want you to understand, if you believe God's that great, why would you turn against Him? If you believe God is truly that wonderful and great in your life, why would you reject what God wants you to do? There's opportunities in life that sometimes, although they seem trivial to us, God wants them done. Now, Jonah didn't want to go down to Nineveh. He didn't want to go down to Nineveh. I'm telling you, that was more or less the capital of the enemy. And he didn't want to do that. But there's times in life, regardless of what we want to do, it's profitable to serve God and follow what He wants us to do in life. A lot of times choices are made that we wish we had back. You know, and okay, we're serving a God, can give you another opportunity. Here's Jonah in a situation in verse 9. And he said, I am a Hebrew and fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which had made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. So they understand the situation. All these mariners standing around, their lives were in jeopardy because of one person, one man, and his disobedience with God. He didn't misunderstand what God said. He just denied it. He said, I'm not going to do it. And so here they are, and they ask him, said, why have you done this? And you know, that's still a good question today that I think about oftentimes. I see people turn away from the Lord. I see people do this and do that, get out of church, decide that they're not going to serve God anymore. Now, they'll tell you, oh, I'm all right with God. I don't buy it. I just don't buy it. I'm going to tell you, I believe that if you're serving God, you're going to follow God. Now, when Jonah turned away, he decided, I'm not going to do what God said. And so many people I know have done the same thing. Now, I want you, in a few minutes, I want you to think about the penalty that's to be paid. In verse 11, then they said unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempered. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. And so they knew what they were going to have to do. Now, this is an amazing thing to me, that rather than repent, Jonah had rather die. Do y'all see that? Rather than repent. I mean, at any time, Jonah could have stood up on that deck of that ship and said, Lord, I want a do-over. I'm sorry. I repent. I'll do what you asked me to do. And I'm telling you, the situation, I believe, would have changed automatically automatically. And so when we start talking about Jonah, and I can't understand his mind, he said, I'd rather die than serve God. Let me tell everybody here something. If you refuse to serve God and follow Him, you're going to die. Amen. You're going to die. Eternal death. Eternal death. You know, it won't ever be over. And I think about the opportunity. Jonah standing on the deck of that ship, all he had to do was say, God, I'm sorry. I ask you to forgive me for my disobedience. I'll do what you asked me to do. And I believe he could have changed the whole situation. But we've got people right here in our families and in our community that say, I'd rather die than serve God. They're going to die. I can't comprehend it. You know, my mind don't go that direction. But that's where we're at. You've got people in your family. I've got people in my family. We've got people in this community that's just in that position, the same as Jonah. They're standing there and they say, well, just throw me overboard. Just do away with me. These men are going to throw him overboard. You know the amazing part about that is? God didn't. God didn't throw him away. God didn't throw him overboard. He gave him an opportunity to repent and then used him just like he asked. And that's the God we serve. The God we serve, the God that loves us, the God that trusts us. Can you imagine that? Can you just speak that word? God trusts me to make the right decisions. God trusts me to do the right things in life, to treat people with respect and be right with that. Can you imagine that? That God, when you walked into this building, God trusts you to do the right thing. It goes on a little farther. In verse 15, it said, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now, you'd get over in New Testament where it says all things work together for the good of the Lord to those that love Him. And so when we start thinking about that, we can see some good coming from this throwing Jonah overboard. God rewarded them for and gave them this calm sea. In verse 17, it goes a little farther. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to get close to the ocean. No way a fish is going to swallow me up. I'm telling you, we're in a world that will swallow you up. We're in a country that'll swallow you up. You think Jonah had a problem in a fish's belly? I'm going to tell you, you get in the belly of this ungodly world, and it will swallow you up. It's out there. It's prepared by God. And I'm telling you that, you know, I all the time hearing about this identity theft. You know, that's a big thing now, identity theft. Nobody, you wouldn't want anybody to get you checkbook numbers or Social Security card and all this stuff, you know, because of identity theft. Let me tell you, I believe we've got Christians every day that's being robbed of their identity. They forgot who they are. They forgot that they're a child of God, born again to eternal life. And they forgot these things. I'm telling you, we're in a world that'll swallow you up and steal your identity. That got kind of quiet. Let's look over New Testament just for a few minutes. Matthew chapter 13. Jonah wound up in a fish's belly. Swallowed up. I see a lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ that are swallowed up. I'm talking about swallowed up, that they are so brought to a point by this and this and other things in life that they've been swallowed up by life, that they forgot who they are, robbed of their identity. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 18, this is about the parables. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and with anon and joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. Now, that's pretty plain spoken in the word of God. This was Jesus giving an explanation to the parable of the sower. And all these three things that he mentioned, I see happen all the time to a people that get swallowed up. They actually get swallowed up. What by? By the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. And the riches choke the word and he become unfruitful. And they lose their identity as Christians. So we're dealing with identity theft, we're dealing with choices, we're dealing with getting swallowed up. Amen. Something we need to be very careful about, getting swallowed up. In closing, I'm going to make this really brief this morning, short and sweet. In closing, Matthew chapter 6, in verse 19, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, that's just as plain as I can be with it. I'm telling you, instead of having ourselves robbed of identity, we need to understand who we are, a people that's saved by the grace of God through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His work on the cross of Calvary, and that we're God's children that trust Him in all situations in life. You know, I'm hearing people all the time, they're upset about the politics going on, they're upset about this, upset about that. I don't get too upset about it because God's in control of my life. When I got up this morning, one of the first things I did, I said, God, here I am. Let's go have a good time today. I asked for a good time. Sometimes I said, hey, let's enjoy the beauty of the world around us. And so when we get down to this, it talks about lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth. And I get thinking about, you know, anything that I could gain and work for on this life is going to perish one day, going to be gone. If you know that for a fact, that anything that you can accumulate, anything that you can have in this life, one day will be gone. So if it's going to go away, I don't know why we struggle so hard to get it in the first place. Do you? Some people say, well, I like to be comfortable. Oh, I do too. I'm telling you, I hear people, I heard an old guy the other day, he's talking about the old days where he loved them old days. I never did like to go out there and have to draw water out of the well. Did y'all? I got spoiled in my older days. I like to turn that faucet on, water run out, right? I didn't like to have to split wood. I didn't like that stuff. They'd have their old days. I, praise the Lord, give me electricity and running water. But now we start talking about the promises of God. And you know, if you consider continue in this chapter 6 of Matthew, it starts talking about all these things that we have need or which we want and all the things that we need. And it comes down to the point down at verse 32, chapter 6, verse 32. It said, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And so we have God's word that He knows what we have need of. You know, most of the time we're not working for our needs, we're working for our wants. Everybody say, amen. The bigger house, the shinier car, and these things and that thing. A lot of times that's what we're working for, not for needs. Because we can work a lot less and have the needs that God plans for us. It's the wants that get us, isn't it? I want to give a word of advice to everybody here. This works young and old. You want to be successful in life. You want to get ahead in life. You want to have a blessed life. Look at verse 33. And this is instructions to the whole world. In verse 33 it said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Boy, that's pretty easy, isn't it? That's pretty plain. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, he talked about clothes and food and shelter and so many things that God had mentioned all the way down through there that people desire to have today in this day and time. And the first thing we want to do is learn that we first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You want to be successful in life? Do this. Do this. You can't learn that anywhere but church. The world will tell you a different story. But the world lies and God don't. And that's pretty plain then. All right, y'all stand to your feet. We're going to be dismissed this morning. Good to see everybody here. Pray for all those that we got several folks that's sick under the weather. And then we got a lot of people that's out on trips and vacations. And some of them's off in them old cars. I don't know if they'll get back or not.